Thank you very much, Pastor Leroy, for letting me come here. It's always great to be back with you. He was saying I was doing an interim. Actually, I started 2 years ago doing the interim there, and they asked if I'd stay, so I did. But I'm getting too old, so I'm going to let them get a younger pastor. So I'll be retiring. I told them I'd stay till they got a pastor or till the end of the year, whichever came first. So you keep us in prayer. Keep our church, Cave Spring Baptist Church. It will celebrate 170 years in May. So it's a church that's been there a while, but a beautiful church, wonderful people. And you keep them in prayer, if you would, as they transition. Ann and I always enjoy coming here. Of course, another reason we wanted to come visit, too, many of you knew or know Brother Harold Brantley. He was our director of missions when I was pastor here. And then when he retired, I followed him as director of mission. Well, Brother Harold is actually at the point of death, and you keep his wife, Miss Jackie, in prayer also. Missions are actually a ministry fair. Each one of us have been given a ministry, and each of us God has gifted to be able to do that ministry. And hopefully, just to encourage you some, let me share very quickly some Bible verses talking about serving, because we do serve the Lord in and through His body, and we serve in the way that God has gifted us. But let me just read some of those, and then I want to just share about the life of Moses, because he's a beautiful example of serving, even a servant leadership. And for those of you who are in leadership, teachers, etc., that it will be an encouragement to you. But listen to a few of these verses on serving. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. And you are helping God's people as you serve. 1 Samuel 12:24, but be sure to fear the Lord and faithfully serve Him. Think of all the wonderful things He has done for you. Romans 12:11, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And we need to remember that we're serving Christ. And actually, Christ is our greatest example of serving, isn't He? Listen to Matthew 20:28. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. So Christ is our example. And if we're going to be those servants, and especially in servant leadership, we certainly want to pattern our serving after the Lord, that He came to serve, not to be served. And you and I don't have or should not have the idea that people ought to serve us, but we're here to serve the Lord and to minister to people in His name. And folks, keep in mind that Christ served with compassion, with love. And we are told in God's Word that the greatest commandment is that we're to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all of our being, really, and to love one another, even as ourselves. And so as we serve, we have to serve like Him, and That means that we serve with that compassion of pleasing Him and serving those in His name. But let's look very briefly, and I promise it'd be brief, Pastor. We won't be here till 2 o'clock. But Moses, you know, is a beautiful example. In Acts chapter 7, if you want to turn there, Acts chapter 7, listen to verses 30 through 36. And keep in mind, Moses had fled out of Egypt, and he was living on the backside in Midian, of the desert in Midian. And the scripture picks up there. It says, "And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the flame of fire in the bush, in the wilderness of Mount Sinai." He had gone there at 40. Now God is appearing to him in the bush at 80 years old. When Moses saw it, the burning bush, he marveled at the sight. And as he drew near to observe, the voice of the Lord came to him saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared not look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" That's what the Egyptians, the Hebrews had said there in Egypt when he killed that Egyptian. "So who are you? You're not our ruler or judge," is what they're saying. "Is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush? He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. So this is where we kind of pick up that Moses calls God to serve him in a most unusual way. I want to point out four things real quickly. First of all, to really serve the Lord, we see in Moses something that should help us, and that is Moses' life. During that time, he was alert. And alertness is important for us as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when God appeared to him in the burning bush there, verse 31 says, Moses saw it. In other words, he knew what was going on. He was observant. He was aware of what God was doing in talking to him in the burning bush. So he drew near. And it said the voice of the Lord then spoke to him. Moses was watching. He was listening. He was ready. He was alert to what God was doing at that time. So keep in mind, you know, Moses was 40 years old when he left Egypt, like I said a moment ago. And now it's been 40 years that he's lived there. And God's coming to him at 80 years old to say, "Hey, this is how I want you to serve me." That's a big task, to lead a million plus people out of Egypt and wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But you see, when Moses saw the burning bush, he was alert. He listened then to what God wanted him to do. And folks, listen, that's the same for all of us as servant leaders, as servants, period. As we serve the Lord in ministry, we have to be alert. We have to be alert to the needs. We have to be alert to what's going on around us. We have to be alert to what God's Word teaches us and how to approach these needs that are there. We just need to be alert and observant, and we need to watch. Be alert and watch and see where God is at work, and then be willing in obedience to join Him where He's working in our life. But notice the second thing in Moses' life: ability. You see, God knew that Moses had the ability to bring those children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt. And if you remember, at first when God spoke to him and said, "This is what I want you to do," Moses said, "Wait a minute, I can't do that." He rejected it first. He said, "I can't do that." But finally God convinced Moses that he had the ability to do what God was calling him to do, even though he was 80 years old. And so let me just say, you know, we have to be careful about using excuses, don't we? Even age, we have to be careful about that. Now, certainly, there are times in our life that God may give us something different to do because we are not able to do what we had done before. And so we have to be watching and listening and in touch with Him, and keep in mind that whatever God does call you to do, whatever ministry God wants you to serve in, folks, He will give you the ability to do whatever He calls you to do. And we have to believe that, that He is true to His Word, and that we don't have to doubt if it's God who has said, "This is what I want you to do. I want you to teach a class. I want you to lead people in a particular ministry in the church. I want you to be a part of this prayer ministry. I want you to be a part of this Bible study," whatever. Then God's going to give you the ability to do that which He's called us to do. And using excuses is really questioning God, isn't it? You know, if we know that God is saying, "Hey, this is what I want you to do," and then we begin to say, "I'm too old," or "I'm too busy, I can't do that," then we're questioning God. But right on the heels of that, we have to understand another thing, and that is availability. And in Moses' life, he made himself available. Tried to wiggle out of it at first, but then he realized God truly wanted him to do this. And when Moses was convinced that God wanted him to lead these people out of Egypt, then he made himself available to God. Let me ask you something. What do you suppose would have happened if Moses had not been available when God said, "This is what I want you to do"? What if Michelangelo had said, "I don't do ceilings"? Or what if the doctor told you, when you go to the doctor, he says, "I'm too busy to help you. I can't help you"? What if Dr. Jonas Salk said, "Polio is not worth my time and effort"? What if someone came up, you know, with a sure cure for all of cancer, but then they said, "I'm not going to make it available. Nobody will know"? What if the little lad in the Bible that had the lunch that he had brought, what if he had not made that available to Jesus to use? What if God calls on you today as you look at the ministry fair over here? What if God touches your heart and calls on you to say, "Hey, this is where I want you to plug in. This is what I want you to do"? But then you say, "I can't." And you use some kind of excuse. You see, we have to make ourselves available to God when He calls on us. And I said in the beginning, all of us have a ministry. God has gifted each one of us with some gift, a spiritual gift or gifts. And He's given those for a purpose, not just to throw aside and not use. He's given them to us to be used in His kingdom work. And we just need to make ourselves available to God when He calls on us. And then the last thing, notice in Moses' life, his amazing, amazing perseverance. Listen, Moses stayed with the job that God had called him to do. He stayed with it until it was finished. And can you imagine what it must have been like? If you've read the story of Moses and the Exodus of bringing the people out, you know how tough it must have been. Just think about wandering around, not knowing when you're going to find a place to live, a place to call home for 40 years, and you're leading these people, and they're complaining constantly about something and fighting one another. And all. What if you do that? You know, it had to be miserable, don't you think? And especially Moses being that servant leader, that leader that God had called on to say, this is what I want you to do. And don't forget, he was 80 when he started. So when he finished, of course, he didn't get to go into the promised land, but he was 120 years old. But he stayed with the job. He stayed with what God had called upon him to do. You know, when I think about patience, I have to look at myself. Especially when I'm in traffic. I have to really, really pay attention and ask God to help me. And I think we all have times that we deal with impatience, right? That we are in such a hurry. This culture is a now culture. I want it right now. And I want it the way I want it. And we have allowed perseverance to kindly slide aside. And if we don't like something, we move on to something else. If we don't like something that we heard, we go somewhere else to hear. If we don't like a job, we find us another one. And so, you know, this is the thing in Moses' life that I think should be an encouragement to us, that, man, he had it tough dealing with that many people under those conditions, and yet he stayed with it. Keep in mind, by perseverance, the snail made it to Noah's Ark. Stayed with it. And we need to be like a postage stamp. You know, they stick to one thing until they get there. We need to do that. We need to stick with it. Here's another wise saying I read. Should be an encouragement to all of us. In the confrontation between the stream and the rock, the stream always wins. Not through strength, but through perseverance as it wears it down. What a lesson for us as God's people. We're the ones that ought to be demonstrating to this world perseverance. We're the ones that should be a light to people and see that, hey, if we do what God wants us to do and we're willing to stay with it, what a lesson that should be to our children, to those coming behind us, our legacy. I want to close with this little story, and many of you will remember I think there's some of you here that were involved in the space industry early on. Raise your hand if you would. Several of you, yeah. Of course, Ann and I grew up in Huntsville, Alabama, the Space and Rocket Center city. And by the way, folks, let me brag a minute. Huntsville, in 15 to 20 years, will be the largest city in Alabama, surpassing Birmingham. But that's how we're experiencing so much growth, it's not funny almost. But anyway, let me share this. Out of the space race and all of that, in 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10. And according to Leon Jaroff in Time magazine, he said the satellite's primary mission was to reach Jupiter, photograph the planet and its moons, and beam data back to Earth about Jupiter's magnetic field. That was its what it was supposed to do. And other things like radiation belts and atmosphere and that kind of thing. Well, scientists regarded this as really a very bold plan to send a probe out like that. And at that time, no satellite had ever gone beyond Mars. And they feared, of course, that beyond that, the asteroid field would destroy the satellite. But here's what's interesting. Pioneer 10 accomplished its mission and much more. Swinging past the giant planet in November of 1973, Jupiter's immense gravity hurled Pioneer 10 at a higher rate of speed toward the edge of the solar system. At 1 billion miles from the sun, Pioneer 10 passed Saturn. At some 2 billion miles, it hurled past Uranus, Neptune at nearly 3 billion miles, Pluto almost 4 billion miles. By 1997, 25 years after this after the launch of Pioneer 10, it was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. And despite that immense distance, Pioneer 10 continued to beam back radio signals to scientists on Earth. Can you imagine that? Perhaps most remarkable was that the signals emanated from an 8-watt transistor, which radiates about as much power as those little bedroom nightlights, 7-watt nightlight, and takes more than 9, when it was beaming it back at that far, it took 9 hours for it to reach Earth. The little satellite that could was qualified to do what it did. And engineers designed Pioneer 10 with a useful life of just 3 years. But look what happened. 25 years, and it was sending signals back to Earth with 8 watts. Folks, just think what God can do with your little 8 watts that you are. Really? He's got all power, hasn't he? And us little 8 watts, if we will make ourselves available to him, will use us in ministry like he had intended to do when he gifted us. So I encourage you, you know, let's be careful about using excuses. Let's do what God has gifted us to do. Let's plug in to his body, because that's what he intended, was he gave the gifts so that his body would function properly as we use our gifts in and through his body. And so I encourage you, plug in. Use those gifts that God has given you, and your little 8 watts will send a message of Jesus Christ to those around you. Trust him for that. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and this beautiful story of Moses and how you used him. What an encouragement to us, Lord. And I pray that we would not soon forget that you want to work in and through our life just like you did in his. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to always be alert to what you are doing. I pray that you would remind us that you have given us the ability to do what you've called us to do. So, Lord, help us to make ourselves available so you can use us, and to stay with the job that you've called us to do. And we know, Lord, that you truly will use us little 8 watts to do your kingdom work. Thank you so much for these that are here in this place right now, as they serve you, Lord, through Central Baptist Church. I pray that you would just continue to bless them and use them. And Lord, bless this, your church. And may it continue to be that lighthouse in this area. Lord, I pray that you would be with us in the service in a few moments, that you'd be with Pastor Leroy as he brings the message, Brother Jeff as he leads us in worship through music. Lord, in all, that it might honor and glorify you, and that it might help each of us to come face to face with you in worship. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it all. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. God bless you.